So last week we introduced the Ma'amar of Rabbi Yehuda of Ein Ha'idim Chos Min Al Ashtar El Im Ken Yodin Michosim Mimahim. Rabbi Yehuda has this principle that it is prohibited. Rabbi Yehuda has this principle that it is prohibited for anyone to sign on a shtar unless they know who the other witnesses who are signing on together with them are. And if they don't know who those witnesses are, then they are not allowed to. They're not allowed to sign. Now, the reason why that came up in our Gemara was because. Did anybody else take from last week? Who held on to those last week? Print a couple more now.
I ate one.
What was that? Berachas Torah. The reason why that came out in our Gemara was because we had this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. That how the third judge in the case of Zavla is appointed. Is it the litigants who appoint the third judge, or is it the two judges who appoint the third judge? And the Gemara initially suggested that perhaps this pertains to this principle of Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Rabbi Yehuda Marav holds that nobody can sign on to a document unless they know who's signing with them. The Gemara implicitly suggests, it doesn't explicate this assumption, but it is implicitly assuming that the same would apply to sitting on a beis din. You can't sit on a beis din unless you know who is sitting on a beis din with you. And the Gemara suggests that perhaps that is the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold the reason why it is the two judges who select the third judge rather than the two litigants is because the two judges themselves need to know. Jerry, do you mind printing a couple of extra packs of Ramakomas? Thanks. The reason why it is the two judges who select the third judge is because they need to know with whom they are sitting on based in, and therefore their consent is necessary in terms of choosing the third of the Dayanim. Whereas perhaps the Chachamim don't hold to this principle, and they hold that the litigants can choose the third judge without the first two judges knowing whom they are sitting with at all. I think Gemara rejected this and said, really, no, everybody agrees with Rabbi Marav, everybody agrees that what he says is true, and everybody agrees that, in truth, you actually do need the consent of the first two judges. The only question is, in addition to the consent of the first two judges, do you also need the consent of the litigants? According to the Chachamim, the consent of the first two judges is sufficient, necessary and sufficient. According to Rabbi Meir, the consent of the first two judges is necessary, but it is not sufficient, it's insufficient. You also need the consent of the litigants. But in the end of the day, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Amarav that what he says is true, that if Edom sign on a shtar, that Edom cannot sign on a shtar unless they know with whom they are signing. Then we started assessing the Rishonim. The Rishonim noted that this seems to contradict the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin seems to imply that only by a get must you sign together with the other witness. The context is an aid kuti who appears on the get. We know that kutim have some kind of ambiguous status in halacha. We don't know whether they're ksherim, whether they're psulim. So the Gemara says that when they sign on a get, you can assume that they're kosher. Why? The Gemara in Gittin Tav Yud explains that if it's a get, then the Yisrael who signed together with the kuti knew who he was, and you can assume that if he signed together with the kuti, then he's effectively asserting that this kuti is somebody who is reliable, who's kosher le'edus. But the Gemara says, by other shtaros, by other documents where they are not necessarily signing together, you have no indication that the Yisrael who signed on the shtar had any idea with whom he was signing. He didn't know that he was signing with an eid kuti, and therefore there's no default assumption that this eid kuti is an eid kosher. The Rishonim ask, the implication of that Gemara is that by other shtaros, you do not need to know with whom you are signing. It is specifically by Gittin that you need to know with whom you are signing. And last week we discussed a number of answers in the Rishonim. So we saw answers in the Rush, we saw different approaches in the Chiddush Aran. We saw effectively as follows. One approach was, Rav Yehuda Marav stands, but the concern is that something will technically go wrong. So for example, one possibility is the following. When it comes to other shtaros, it's true that there is an obligation upon the witnesses to sign with the other witness, to know who the other witness is before they sign. But if they neglect to do so, the shtar is still kosher. It's an obligation, but the shtar is still kosher if they neglect it. Whereas by a get, if they neglect that obligation, the shtar is pasul. The shtar is pasul entirely. That was a suggestion of the Tosafot Rush. So it is true that we hold the Rav Yehuda Marav, but by other shtaros, there's a concern that even though the witness was obligated to find out with whom he was signing, perhaps he neglected that obligation. by a get, it's impossible that he neglected that obligation, because if they didn't sign together, then the get would be possible in the first place, and you don't have to worry about it. That's the suggestion of the Tosafot Rashi. Or the Chidushei Aran says the following. There's a small difference between Gittin and other shtaros. So Yehuda Marav says that you have to know with whom you are signing. It doesn't mean you have to be in the same room at the point that you are both issuing your signatures. So perhaps he thought he was signing with person X, so he signed under the false premise that he was signing with person X, and in the end, the person who ended up signing with him was person Y. So everybody agrees that what Rav Yehuda Marav says is true, but it doesn't go as far as the halacha by Gittin. Rav Yehuda Marav just says you need to know the person, by Gittin you actually need to be in the same room, and because of the concern that something will go wrong in the execution, we can't rely on simply Rav Yehuda Marav for other shtaros. But then we saw another suggestion in the Chidush Aran, was that this whole thing of Rav Yehuda Marav, is not a halacha at all. It is simply an Eitzah Tova. It's a good piece of advice. The Gemara says that that's what the Nekiyei Hada'as Shabbi Yerushalayim would do. This elite status, this elite class, better yet, of spiritual titans, this is how they would conduct themselves. And the Ran notes that the implication of that is that it's not a halacha, it's something that you should do. It's a good piece of advice. The Ran says, "Eino elam yishum nekios hadas." It's something that's admirable, but it's not absolutely necessary. So we saw a basic machlokas as to whether or not a witness has an obligation to check with whom he is signing before signing, or is it just a piece of advice? And we saw that's also reflected in various reasons or justifications behind this halacha. Why is it that you need to check with whom you are signing? So according to Rashi, the reason why you need to check is because if the Eidos doesn't work, you're going to be embarrassed. Nimtzu Elu Boshim. That certainly sounds like an Eitzah Tov. It sounds like a piece of advice. That's the reasoning that Rashi gives for the halacha. But then we saw others who gave other pieces of advice. We saw the Ran, we saw the Bach, who says that you don't want to embarrass anyone else, or the Chidush Aran, the Bach says that it's not embarrassing anybody else. The Chidush Aran who developed that idea also, and I said that this time I want to take a look at the Rambam. So tonight we're going to start the new material with source number 9. And I already noted last week that the Rambam is really the person who makes this sugya far more complex and interesting than it would have been otherwise. The Rambam paskins this issue in two different places. If you look at source 9, I reproduced Sanhedrin Perek Beis. And I reproduced the first three halachos, because it's always important to know the context of the Rambam, where he places a halacha, but the real place where he paskins our issue is at the top of page 4 in Halacha Yudalid. So in one place the Rambam discusses this Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid. In another instance, in source 10, we have the Rambam paskining the same halacha in Sanhedrin Perek Beis Halacha Yud. So it's always interesting to note when the Rambam places something in two different locations. That's noteworthy in and of itself. But there are also a number of differences between, nuanced differences, between the formulations that the Rambam uses. So what I want to do now is I want to read the two halachos in the Rambam. We're going to read the Rambam in Sanhedrin Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid. We're going to read the Rambam in Sanhedrin Perek Beis Halacha Yud. And we're going to contrast them. And collectively, hopefully we'll be able to come up with, I think, at least 5 differences, nuanced differences, but differences nonetheless, between the way the Rambam presents this halacha in Perek Beis and the way he presents it in Perek Chaf Beis. So we start with Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid. This is the top of page 4. Ve'azir la'adam chacham she'yezhe badin. It is prohibited for a wise person, an adam chacham, to sit in din. Note that the Rambam here is not talking about signing on a shtar. He's talking about sitting on a beis din. So the Rambam picks up on the clear implication of our Gemara, that this is not limited to signing on a shtar, but it would apply to sitting on a beis din as well. Ad sheyeda im mi yeshev. He can't sit on a beis din until he knows with whom he is sitting. Shema yitzdarev im anoshim she'enon hagunim. Perhaps he will join together on this beis din with people who are not fitting, who are not proper. B'nimtza v'chal kesher, bogdim lo b'chal. Based in, the Rambam quotes the pasuk, I think it's Mishlei. He's going to be b'chal kesher bogdim. It's going to be within this this duplicitous group, rather than a straight and kosher based in. That's the Rambam. he provides a new reason for us that we have not seen so far. This notion of Beklal Kesher Bogdim. I believe it actually appears in the Yad Ramah as well. But we certainly do not see it in the Chiddush Iran that we were seeing, and certainly not in Rashi, who said that it's about being embarrassed. But otherwise relatively straightforward.
It's a very Rambam thing to say, in that he is giving a very, like, hashgafic reason for why you shouldn't, you know, it's just not a good, you shouldn't do this. But then he starts it with, like, an isser, meaning, as opposed to the Rashi, who gives a reason, like, you wouldn't want to be associated with this kind of company, and, like, this is an Eitz HaTova, he's saying this, like, a halacha, but the halacha is based on, you know, just, you know, human decency.
Right. Is that a Rambam-esque thing?
I don't know. I feel like it's like Hilchos Deos is like very much like that.
And okay.
Like,
I hear what you're
saying. It's usher, it's
you could have said it's a Ramban. You could have said it's a Ramban-esque like, thing as well, right? The whole Kiddushim to you and Ve'asisa Yashar
Tov. This is like Hilchos Deos, like it's usher to eat food when like you are blah blah blah. Like right. That's not a
proper conduct. Proper conduct. So. Yeah, so it might fit into something like that. But again, so far, just noteworthy that this was not quoted by anyone that we've seen so far. The Rambam adds this new Benimza Bechlal Kesher Bogdim. Source 10, Perek HaBeis Al HaChiyot. And again, we'll just read it, and then we'll do one of those, they have those games in like the Ken section of the newspaper, right? Like, what are the six differences between these two pictures? So let's just take a look at what the Rambam says here. And we'll try to pay attention to what the differences may be and try to figure out what exactly is going on in the Rambam. Dayan shu yodea b'chaveiro, a judge who knows about his friend, shehu gazlon o rasha, that he is a gazlon or a rasha, asur lehetzdaref imo, it is prohibited to join together with him, shene'emar midvar sheker terchak. As Pasuk says, thou shalt distance thyself from falsehood. The Kachayu Nikiya Hadasha Yerushalayim Osin. Now he quotes again the Maisa in our Gemara that this is what the Nikiya Hadasha in Yerushalayim would do. Ein Yoshvin Badin Ad Sheyedu Im Mihem Yoshvim. They would not sit on a court until they knew with whom they are sitting. Plo Chosvim Es Ashtar Ad Sheyedu Michosim Imahem. And then the actual application of Rabbi Yehuda Marav. They would not sign on a shtar until they knew with whom they are signing. Plo Nichnasim L'Seuda Ad Sheyedu Mimeis Avimahem. And they would not sit down to a meal until they knew with whom they were feasting, with whom they were sitting to this meal. So again, two halachos. Rambam has in two different places. Anything noteworthy in terms of differences between these two halachos? I would say at least five things that I think are important. Some of them are more important than others. They're all subtle. Some of them, despite their subtlety, are quite critical, as we'll see in a moment. Others are really quite subtle, but I think it's important to look. What are some of the critical differences between these two halachas?
In
Halacha
Yud, he connects it to Midbar
Shachar. Okay, is that good. So that's a critical one, right? We noted, we discussed, and we made a big deal of the fact that the Rambam quotes Benimza B'chlal Kesher Bogdim in Halacha Yud Dalad, which is not quoted in the Ran. It's not quoted in Rashi. Here in Halacha Yud, the Rambam gives us a different reason, Midvar Sheker Terchak. So the Rambam is quoting Psukim, he's very comfortable saying that this relates to some value reflected in the Psukim themselves, but the Psukim that he brings are different. In one case it's B'chlal Kesher Bogdim, in the other it is Midvar Sheker Terchak. One difference.
Case, isn't it? Yud is a case where you know the person's bad, whereas in Yud, you're just not sure.
Excellent. That's the second critical difference, and as we will see, that difference is one that the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch are particularly bothered by, because the Shulchan Aruch, Kedarko, very much follows the Rambam here. And that's a critical distinction. Take a look at Halacha Yudalid. In Halacha Yudalid, an Adam Chacham can't sit on a Beis Din until he knows with whom he is sitting. In other words, he has an obligation to investigate the person he is sitting with to make sure that all the boxes are checked. He has to make sure they have no criminal record, that everything checks out. And if they are Ksheirim, then he can sit down with them. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam doesn't say that you have an obligation to proactively check. It's that if you know that the person is flawed in one way or another, then you cannot be mitzdarif imahim. Right? But those are very different things. What about the neutral person? What if I don't know? According to Perek Beis, if I don't know, I'd have an obligation to investigate. According to Perek Chaf Beis, if I don't know, that's fine. It's only if I know that there is a problem that I cannot sit together with them. Join together. Issue number two.
In your doubt, doesn't say it's necessarily... he's saying you shouldn't do it because maybe it'll come out that you'll be with someone who's not like him. It's a shemi tzar. Whereas in yud, it's saying it's tzar.
Well, that's the same point as what you said before. In other words, shemi tzar if because you don't know that the person is not kosher. In other words, the reason why you need to proactively check is lest you come to sit with somebody who's not kosher.
I'm saying your doubt may be less of an iser, per se. Meaning your doubt is more of advice. Don't do it because you might come to an iser. Whereas in yud, he's saying... No, it's not.
The language by both is Aser. Aser la'adam chacham, Aser la'hitzdar efim. It doesn't sound like an etzatova. It sounds, and again, he doesn't say Shema Yevoshu or something like that. Quotes a pasuk, and he says Aser. I would say that they both seem like halachas.
I mean, building on what you were saying, and I sort of want to go back to what I said before. I don't think it's an etzatova, but I think it's a different kind of iser. Iser in halacha, in perichav bet, is an actual iser, like any other iser. It's usur to do something, it's usur to lie, it's pervert justice. Iser in
no, you're not saying you're lying, we're not saying you're lying.
But he's saying by being involved in this, you are
okay,
perverting justice. It's a function of midrash eker tirchak, that
okay,
you are doing something that...
Maybe, I'm going to actually disagree with this, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but okay.
Whereas in Perek Bet, he's saying, like, chacham, he writes it, la'adam chacham, I think that's, like, the important point. It's like, a chacham should not do this. Like, this is beneath, I see this as, like, the same way, like the Gemara says, like, it's also for a talmid chacham to have a stain on his shirt. You know,
as
like...
we were discussing last week, right, that when Rashi says that it's Gnai, right? That could be a halacha. We mentioned that last, right, when we were talking about the Gnai doesn't have to be a Zatova, it could be a halacha.
But I'm saying it's not like an Isser like eating pork. It's an Isser because you've done
okay,
something.
So I'm
that
going
is...
to actually disagree with your analysis and perhaps flip it on its head. But for now, I'll hold my cards.
Well, a brisker analysis would say that really, that like an Isser to like do something undignified is really like an Isser to eat pork.
It's right. There's no din and dignity. It's just a chalos.
Right.
Right.
But I'm saying that's like a brisker
think,
kind of thing.
I think that's so, not a real brisker thing. But anyway. Anything else on the Rambam? There are a couple of other important differences. Any other thoughts, or should we just...
The characterization of Dayan versus Adam.
Good. Dayan versus Adam Chacham. Adam Chacham. Right. So Dayan versus Adam Chacham is there. That is going to be one that... I'll be honest up front, that's the one that I have the most trouble with, as I'll note in a moment. But I think that's a more subtle one, Dayan versus Adam Chacham. I would point out one other one that's critical, another one that's more subtle. Another one that's critical, and this is, yeah.
I'm not going to swear for that, but... characterization of who the bad people are.
Good. Goslin or Russia. Good. That was going to be my less. That was going to be my more subtle one. But that's another, I think, important one. Anashim she'inon hagunim. We have an alach yadalid. But the characterization of these other problematic individuals in alach yud are specifically Goslin or Russia. And then another one. The concept of alach yadalid is the isser is to do what? Is to join them on a beis din, right? To Yeshev Bedin. What about Alacha Yud?
Also, plus minus a star.
Well, let's correct, but even before that, look at the formulation at the outset. Dayan Shiyodei Bechaver Shugazan or Russia, Aser Lehit Starif Ima. Just this generic Lehit Starif. It doesn't say that it's a based in or a star. It doesn't say anything. Aser Lehit Starif Ima. And then Morty, the Rambam quotes, which he does not quote in Perek Beis, he quotes this the Kiyei Hada'ash Shabi Yerushalayim passage of our Gemara in Sanhedrin Dach Gimel, which includes what? Based in Shtar, and Seuda. Now, we noted last week that if we're playing the Sesame Street game, which one of these things is not like the others, right? Sitting on a based in, signing a Shtar, those are formal halachic legal acts. Sitting in a Seuda is not. So here the Rambam is not just talking about sitting on a beis din. He's talking about this generic lehet starif imo, and when he cites examples, it includes beis din, it includes shtar, it also includes sugud. So we're going to have to explore what these differences in the Rambam are. But before I offer my approach, let's just see some of the approaches that are offered by some of the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch. Because as I noted, the Shulchan Aruch mirrors, as he often does, the language of the Rambam in certain ways, not in terms of all of these nuances, but he does, and the Nosei Kelim pick up on it. So if you look at verse 11, Dayan sheyodea b'chaveiro, shehu gazlan o rasha, ein lo lehit staref ima. So here, this is parallel to the Rambam's Perakot Beis Halach Yud. He has the language of Dayan. He knows definitively that the person is a problem. He says Gazlan of Russia, not Enam Hagunim. So we have some of those critical differences there. Yeah.
What is Enam Hagunim?
Enam
Hagunim, they're not like nice people? Or like...
I mean, we're going to assume for now that Enam Hagunim is, they are not Hagun to be on a Beis Din. The context is joining with them for Beis Din.
Okay.
Right? So, they are not hagunim to be part of a beis din.
Just to point in the Rambam and Chaf Beis, the Bekach Hayu Nikye Hadas seems like it parallels more Halacha Yedala than it does Halacha Yed.
What makes you say that?
Because there he's saying, in Yoshven B'din Adshi Yedu, in Mihem Yoshven. That's more like Halacha Yedala. Here, because Halacha Yed's talking about where he already knows.
Okay, so that just highlights, correct. So, that's correct. So, in terms of that other point that we made, that Halacha Yud is dealing with definitive knowledge, whereas Halacha Yudalid means that you have to investigate, you must suspect that somebody is a problem. In that sense, correct, the Nekiyah Hada'as would actually fit more neatly into Halacha Yudalid, which I guess only exacerbates the question as to why the Rambam is quoting that in Halacha Yud, if we have a very concrete reason why it would appear to fit in Perak Beis Halacha Yudalid rather than Chaf Beis Yud.
Consistent in the sense that if we assume Nikki had das, it's reflective of something that's not a yeser. That's like.
Well, I was arguing that they're both yeserim, right? The Rambam does use the lashon of aser in both places.
Right, but it would be consistent that he would quote Nikki had das as something above and beyond the aser, where he quotes the more basic aser and not where he quotes. Meaning you'd have to figure out the stira, but it would be more internally consistent to quote it.
But again, what you're making makes certain assumptions about the nature of Parakhlach Beis versus the nature of Parakhlach Beis, right? So I actually happen to agree with your analysis, but let's try to reconstruct the mechanics of how we get there. So in source 12, again, the Shulchan Aruch very much mirroring the language of the Rambam. For Asul Adam Chacham Sheyeshev Bedin An Sheyeda Im Meyoshev, right? Again, we have Adam Chacham. We have the obligation to investigate, not just the obligation to desist if you know the person is problematic, but rather to investigate. We have Yeshev Bedin. Shema Yeshev Im Anashim She'enim Hagunim. Again, the language of Enim Hagunim. Penimza B'chal Kasher Bogdim Lo B'chal Beis Din. He even quotes the B'chal Kasher Bogdim piece as well. And this is very frequent. A lot of times if you just learn Tur Shulchan Aruch, you don't realize how heavily Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rambam. But in many, many instances, the Shulchan Aruch is very much based on the Rambam's Lashon, and it becomes even more interesting when he'll sometimes copy almost an entire halacha, but leave certain things out. So that always raises certain questions as to why certain things are quoted and why other things are not. And then, of course, my students, who are rightfully taught that plagiarism is a capital crime, and they're very sensitive to it, which is a great thing. They're always like, "The Shulchan Aruch's plagiarizing, how could he do that?" And I try to explain how, you know, we try to have this balance between being sensitive to Omer Dover B'Shem Omro, but our rabbinic literature has a little more leniency when it comes to those matters, a little more flexibility. But in any event, the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rambam. And the Pesachei Tshuva notes some of the discrepancies that we pointed out. In particular, the one that bothers him the most is the question as to whether one needs to investigate if you don't know, or you don't need to investigate. It's only that if you know the person is Puzzle or a Gazlan or Russia, let's use that language,
right,
then
no
you cannot join. What?
Why is there no Chazaka?
So,
unless you know that they're Puzzle.
So in one formulation, it seems like there is a Cheskas Kashrus, and the only problem is if you know that they are not good. In another formulation, it seems as if you have to suspect, and we don't rely on a Cheskas Kashrus. So the question of the immediate question of the Pesachei Tshuva is not your question, Ben, as to why we don't rely on a Cheskas Kashrus. That's an interesting other question. His question is just, which is it? Which is it? Do we have a cheska kashrus that we can rely on, or do you have to investigate? So he's commenting on Seif Yud, source 11, which, as we noted, implies that if you don't know, it's not a problem. So Seif Yud sheyodeh b'chaveiro peskei tshuva, source 13, mashma d'vinasta mutter. The implication is that if you don't know, the person is okay. However, le'el b'simin gimel seif dalid kasav. However, before in simin gimel he wrote for ozer l'adam chashav sheyeshev b'din at sheyeda imi yushev. Unless you have an explicit cheskas kashrus that you know about this person, that he is a good dayan, it seems like you have to suspect him. And the Piskei Tshuva asks, which one is it? Is it that any stam person can assume to be kosher unless I have evidence to the contrary? Or do I have to investigate? The Piskei Tshuva offers three answers. Number one, Tirat HaBach, the answer of the Bach, is the El B'Simin Gimel, Davka B'Adam Muvhak, in Simon Gimel, where it says that you have to actually investigate, that's specifically somebody who is muvak b'chachma, who's somebody who's extra special. Avakan mayri b'stam dayan. Here we're just dealing with a regular dayan. Mutter lo leishev im lo sheyadua lo shehu rasha. Ram, it's mutter unless he knows definitively that the person is a rasha. So the Bach is addressing two of the questions by saying that they cancel each other out. And this is often what we do, right? There are two problems in the Rambam. Which other discrepancy is the Bach noting? He's noting the fact that, again, he's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, not on the Gemara, on the Rambam, but he's noting that one of them is dealing with an Adam Chacham, the other is dealing with a Dayan. So when it comes to an Adam Chacham, who's the Gadol Hador, who really has to be concerned about every move that he makes, because everybody's going to be watching him and doing exactly what he does. It's like the old joke about Hadlakas Neros Chanukah, right? That the Hasidim would always put out a broom, and take it away, Neros Chanukah, because one time they saw the Rebbe, and he was lighting Neros Chanukah, and he motioned to his wife to move away the broom, right? Like a whole story. There are true stories about this. They say about Rav Moshe Feinstein. I don't know if it's true, but this is reported in all seriousness. They say there was a time when they were like competing, I don't remember the details of the story, Chalav Yisrael milk companies or something like that, and he was at a public meal, and he picked up one carton and looked at it and put it down and picked up one from the other company. So people said, oh, Rav Moshe doesn't hold to their hashkacha. And it came out, it was empty. It was an empty carton. So he picked it up and he shook it a little bit, looked at it, and put it down. So you have to be very careful. But in any event, so the Bach is saying that when it comes to that kind of Adam Chacham, who's Muflag Bechachma, that person has to, Muvak Bechachma, that person has to do an active investigation. If it's a Stam Dayan, then only if he knows there's a problem, then he has to avoid joining with that based in, but otherwise there's a cheska kashrus and it's okay. So the Bach is, again, you could tell that they're dealing with these subtle differences in order to resolve the larger issues. So there's number two, v'tumim kasav, the tumim writes, leishev divasimin gimel mairi b'tchilas yeshiva b'din. Simin gimel, which uses the language of yeshev b'din, again, another one of the subtle differences that we noted, that's talking about when you first sit down. Ein lo leishev, ajehi baru lo shehu adam kashin. He should not sit down until for the Beis Din until he does an investigation. But in Simon Zion, where we don't have that language of Yeshe Bedin, there it's not dealing with when he initially is going to sit down, but he already joined the Beis Din. And while he's already dealing with this Din Torah, what emerges is that he's not entirely sure if this person is kosher. He doesn't need to, once the din, Beis Din, has already started, and again, they've already joined together as a Beis Din, there's potential for embarrassment if you leave in the middle, then you don't have to leave unless you know definitively that the other person is a Gazlan or Rasha. That's why the language changes from Yeshev Imo Bedin to Lehitstarev Imo, because in the first case we're talking about the initial joining together as a Beis Din, the Yeshiva Bedin. Here is that Yeshiva Bedin is Lehitstarev Imo. And again, you have another instance where you should not finish the din bihit starfus. So again, you have another instance where they're picking up on one of the subtle differences that we noted, the difference between leishay badin versus the generic leit starif imo, and the tumim is running with that and saying that is the distinction. If it's initially you're going to sit down together, then do your due diligence. Investigate the guy before you sit down. If you did your due diligence and you thought he was kosher, and now certain sfeikos are arising, don't embarrass the guy and end the din Torah And those could be two different things, but don't separate yourself unless you definitively know that the person is a Gazal or Rosh. Approach of the tomb. Number three, again, Tshuva Space Yaakov. This is a very interesting one. He had a lot to say about this. Basically, Tshuva likes his third approach. He gives a third approach. To davka im dayon echad, eino makir es shnei hadayonim, if one of them doesn't know either of the two other dayonim that he is joining, az asur leishev imahim min astam, then you must investigate. She'ulai elu hashnayim him eino mehuganim, yehyeh b'chal kesher bogdim. Because if both of them are not good dayonim, then you will be considered b'chal kesher bogdim. It's a very interesting line that you have here, and this goes back to some of the questions of rov by a basin. How does the rov of a basin function? We're saying because the rov of the basin is enam ksheirim, you are joined together with these two, the rov who are enam ksheirim, and that's bichlal kesher bogdim. This relates again. This, if you want to get really fancy with this, could relate to certain questions about how does rov in a basin operate? Is that we follow the rov, or is really that that rubo kikulo, that is as if everybody is together with the rov, that relates to the famous question of how can you follow a rov by a basin, of ein holchin b'momonach a rov, the question of Tosos, different places, Tosos have different answers, and Rav Chaim's approach to that. But it's only a kesher bogdim when two of them are psulim.
I don't think, though, that he's invoking rov as, like, rov the way that we usually refer to it in Beit Din. I think he just means that, like, if most of the people that you're involved with are sleazy,
you can definitely take it in a more colloquial way. Again, if you want to really read into it, especially because he used the language of nich al besocham, you can build more into that. Again, I don't object to reading it in a more technical, like colloquial way. I don't think that's a problem, but it's worth noting. But if two of them are good and they just don't know who the third person is, az leka isura, then there is no prohibition. Then it was just the achumra of the kiyah hadas. But when you know that one of them is a Russia definitively, then you should not join even if the second one is kosher. Even though you're not going to be kesher bogdim, even she'arov me'a basin kosher, since the majority of the basin is ksheirim, because of the midrash sheker tirchak consideration. And again, he's noting a third one of the differences, the difference between v'chal kesher bogdim and midrash sheker tirchak. And he's saying that when the robe of the basin are enam ksheirim, then you have a klal kasher bogdim. And for that, you have to be proactively alert. You have to investigate in advance. When it comes to a case where two of the dayanim are ksheirim, then you have no problem with klal kasher bogdim. You don't need to investigate proactively. But if one of them is known to be puzzle, then you still have a problem because of midrash sheker.
Why do you still have a problem? If it's two is arriving, that's what working.
I mean, we definitely don't hold that if you can only have two dayanim ksheirim on a beis din. I mean, that's not so pasha because you have the question of shnayim shadanu dinayim din, but certainly assuming that you need three dayanim for dinayim mamonos, it's not enough to just have two. We might not say it's a klal kesher bogdim, it's not a group of scoundrels, but
that would be a problem with the bezin,
wouldn't
be
the
kosher. I'm sorry?
That would be a problem with the bezin, you say the bezin is not kosher, but then why would that be the kosher? Okay, so midrash sheker terchak might be telling you to avoid that kind of that doesn't end up being truthful, or it might be something broader as well. And that, again, it's almost 10 o'clock. I'm just going to take a minute to make a different suggestion in the Rambam that incorporates elements of perhaps all three of these. I think each of these, as we noted, is dealing with a central question, the difference between proactive investigation versus finding something out and then removing oneself. And each one is picking up on one of the differences that we noted and using that to resolve the contradiction. What about all five? So as I noted at the outset, it's always important to pay attention to the context in which the Rambam places the halachas. Take a look at our Beis Halacha Aleph. Ein ma'amidin b'sanhedrin bein b'gedola bein katana ela anoshim chachamim u'nevonim u'flogim b'chachmas ha'torah ba'alei deya meruba. What is Parak Beis all about? It's the standards of kashrus of dayanim. Who are the dayanim who are appropriate, who are fitting to sit on a beis din? They need to have all sorts of qualifications. These are the people who are qualified to sit on a Beis Din. And if you read through Halacha Beis, which is really based on Gemaras, it's all based on Gemaras, you wonder how anyone was ever really to sit on the Sanhedrin. Maybe the Rambam himself, you know, he talks about how you have to master all of Torah, and you have to master all of these other disciplines, and you have to be a certain moral stature, a certain spiritual stature. Perek Beis is all about kashrus of a Beis Din. Kashrus hadayan. What's Perek Chaf Beis about? So it starts with Shnayim Shabbat Levanech Al Adin Echad Rach Echad Kasha Ad Shel Tishma Es Devrayim Umisha Tishma Es Devrayim Iyata Yodel Lehechan Adin Nota Ata Rashi Lomer Lehem Eini Niskak Chem Shem Yischai Vakasha Vnim Tzerodi Vach Medayan. It starts with the halachas of Losa Guru Mipnei Ish, but it very quickly transitions. Look at Halacha Beis. Chen Tamad Shehayu Yoshev Vnei Rabo Ra Azchus La Ani Vechova La Ashir. He saw argument in merit of the poor person or to the detriment of the rich person. Shosak, hareza over mishum losa guru mipnei ish, bial zen ne'emar midvar sheker tirchak. The Rambam sees some connection between losa guru mipnei ish and midvar sheker tirchak. Minayin ladayin shlo yoshiv talmid bur lefanav talmid lomar midvar sheker tirchak. The rest of this halacha, if you go through it, it's one halacha after another, things that we derive from midvar sheker tirchak. Minayin the Talmud, look at Halacha Gimel. Minayin the Talmud, Shara Rabo Shetoa Bedin Shloyomer Amtin Lo Ashiyigmar Adin. I shouldn't wait, but if I think there's a mistake, but I should speak. You know, one should speak up immediately. Talmud Lomer Midrash Sheker Terchak. All these halachos that I learned from Midrash Sheker Terchak. I'd like to suggest that perhaps for the Rambam, there are two very fundamentally different halachos that are going on. In Halacha Beis, the reason why you are checking the people that you're sitting with in terms of the Beis Din, because it's a concern about the integrity of the system of Beis Din. It's a concern about the mitzvah of Minu Dayanim. It's a concern about the kashrus of the court that you are sitting on. The concern is Bechlal Kasher Bogdin. You want to make sure that this is going to be a Beis Din kasher, not some kind of farce. So the Rambam emphasizes, but it's a Bechlal Kesher Bogdim, lo Bechlal Beis Din. The emphasis is on the fact that it's a Kesher Bogdim in contrast to a Beis Din. In Halacha Perek Beis, the Rambam is telling you all sorts of halachos that are derived from the principle of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Sheker is something that is anathema. In Yahadus, in Halacha, something that you must exceedingly distance yourself from. And perhaps the consideration there is something entirely different. It's not about Beis Din at all. As a matter of fact, the Rambam does not even say Ache Yeshiv Bedin, as we noted. What is the concern? The concern is that people of a certain stature should not be associating with people who represent Sheker. Midvar Sheker, Tirchak. Distance yourself exceedingly from somebody who is a paradigm of Sheker. And this is manifested in a number of ways. In Halacha Yudalad, the Rambam, let's just go through some of the differences that we noted. In Halacha Yudalad, the Rambam says, what's the context? Specifically sitting on a Beis Din. Why is it specifically sitting on a Beis Din? Because that is the whole concern of Perek Beis. The whole concern of Perek Beis in the Rambam, in Pechel Sanhedrin, is about Beis Din. Kasher is a Beis Din. Who's qualified to sit on a Beis Din? The context is Beis Din, and that's why the Rambam says, in the context of Perek Beis, where the Rambam is just talking about a generic Midvar Sheker Tirchak, excessively distancing oneself, or exceedingly, not excessively, exceedingly distancing oneself from somebody who represents Sheker, it's not just Beis Din. It's Beis Din, it's Shtar, it's even sitting in a Seuda. One should avoid associations with Sheker in that context. That could also explain, perhaps, why in the difference between Halacha Yudalad in terms of investigation versus just no. When it comes to a Beis Din, sitting on a Beis Din, you have an obligation to the court system, to the kashrus of the Beis Din, to investigate beforehand, before you sit on the Beis Din. Now, if we're dealing with a halacha of just association with people, the Rambam tell you that before you associate with anyone, before you go over and shake someone's hand and say good Shabbos, you have to do a background check beforehand, you have to do an investigation. You're not allowed to associate with anyone until you thoroughly vet them and investigate them? No, of course not. What's the halacha of Midrash Sheker Tirchak? If you know that the person is a representative of Sheker, then you must distance oneself. Then you have to distance yourself. Then you can't associate with him. But it's not that, oh, all human associations require a vetting process in advance in order to assume that the person is not a representative of Sheker. That can also explain why the Rambam quotes the Kiyei HaDa'as in Perek HaBeis rather than Perek Beis. You were saying, Morty, oh, it should fit in Perek Beis, but it fits better in Perek Beis because that's an active investigation. But again, as we noted, the Kiyei HaDa'as was not about necessarily the kashrus of a Beis Din. It was about maintaining a certain spiritual character. That's what the Nekiyei HaDa'as were after. It was about even a Se'uda as well. It was about Midvar Sheker Tircha, distancing oneself from representatives of Sheker. It obviously explains the Bechal Kesher Bogdim versus the Midvar Sheker Tircha point. I think it also explains the Enam Hagunim versus Gazlan or Rasha. When it comes to the Kashrus of a Beis Din, you have to be concerned that the people who are judging with you are not Ksherim to be Dayanim. It doesn't mean that there's an inherent character flaw. It could be that they're Krovim. Right? They're relatives of the Ba'alei Din. You have to search for anything that would make them psulim, enam hagunim, to judge this case. It doesn't have to be that they're Rishayim, it doesn't have to be that they're Gazlanim, they're not necessarily bad people, they're very good people. But you have to make sure that everything checks out. Even technical things like Krovim have to make sure that they're okay so that you can have this based in Kasher. In the context of Perek HaBeis, where the Rambam is talking about Midvar Sheker Tirchak, it's specifically what? Specifically a Gazlan, specifically a Russian. Someone who's truly a representative of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, of Sheker, that needs to be distanced from. So in essence, Jerry, I would take the argument that you were making before and flip it entirely on its head. It's not Perek Beis that's dealing with that general Hilchos Deos, that kind of conduct issue. Perek Beis, like the entire Perek, is dealing with what? Kashrus of a Beis Din. And the concerns and the far-reaching consequences and the far lengths that one must go to ensure that there is a Beis Din Kashrus. The conscious Perek Chaf Beis is a different halacha entirely. It's a universal value that applies to everyone of Midvar Sheker Tirch. Now that's why I also said that I would have preferred Adam Chacham in Perek Chaf Beis versus Dayan in Perek Beis. That one does give me a little trouble. It's a difficult one to deal with. I'd have to invoke something like the Bach, that Adam Chacham Muvak has higher standards, or maybe a Dayan as a representative of the Beis Din system has higher responsibilities. I admit that that one gives me a little trouble. I think the weight of the evidence of the other four still makes me comfortable saying this in the Rambam. But Perek HaBeis is a universal ethic of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, trying to attain a certain spiritual stature, not only within the framework of Beis Din, but in all walks of life, by distancing oneself from Sheker and striving for associations with Torah values in all walks of one's life. So that I think, is the approach of the Rambam. And Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll start the sugya of Yachol Levar, Tzarech Levar, which emerges from the Gemara and Daf Chakim on this.